the headlines. Iran condemns the recent Saudi-led deadly airstrikes at a prison in Yemen, warning that the attacks make achieving a just peace in the country more difficult. First shipment of U.S. military aid arrives in Kiev as tensions keep escalating between the West and Russia over Ukraine. And pro-independence activists in Scotland march through the streets of Glasgow, urging the British Prime Minister to resign. Well, welcome to our studio here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Yemen's health minister says the death toll from the Saudi-led coalition's latest airstrike on the country has risen to at least 82. According to the minister, another 266 people have been injured in the Saudi strikes, with many of them being in critical condition. Saudi warplanes bombed the prison in the northern city of Sada in the early hours of Friday, killing dozens of people. At least three children also died in a separate air raid on telecommunications facilities in the western city of Hodeidah. That attack led to a nationwide internet blackout. Saudi Arabia and its allies launched a devastating war in Yemen in March 2015, killing hundreds of thousands. Meanwhile, condemnations are pouring in over the Saudi-led coalition's deadly airstrikes on Yemen, with the UN chief describing them as unacceptable.
Now, any bombardment that targets civilians that is not careful enough to protect civilians is, of course, also unacceptable.
Guterres has called for a prompt, effective, and transparent investigation into the airstrikes, which left dozens dead. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman also slammed the assault. Sarit Khalidzadeh says such deadly attacks, coupled with the inaction of the international community and the uncontrolled arms sales to Saudi Arabia and its allies, have complicated peace efforts in Yemen. The former leader of the UK Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, has also censored the attacks, calling for an end to arms sales to Saudi Arabia. He believes that they make London a complicit in the Saudi crimes. Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah has also condemned the raids as terrifying. It says that the attacks are aimed at covering up the Saudi failure on the battlefield. In Iraq, resistance groups have denounced the air raids as a massacre of Yemeni civilians. Friday was a bloody day across Yemen as the Saudi-led coalition waged a deadly campaign across the impoverished nation, killing scores and injuring many more. Next up, hashtag trending brings you social media reactions to these incidents and much more.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another hashtag trending with me, Ali Reza. Today, we'll bring you social media's reaction to Friday's massacre in Yemen at the hands of the Saudi-led forces. Stay tuned for more. Scores were killed across the impoverished Yemen after the Saudi-led forces struck a crowded detention facility in the city of Sada. And as these things often go, among the dead were innocent children and women who have been languishing under war for 7 years. And then, this happened. But the Saudi-led aggression was not limited to Sa'ada and that one incident. The coalition forces also pounded Hodeidah, among other targets, and as a result, disrupted internet services there. But let's turn our heads to our comments board and see some of your reactions on social media. The first one comes from Afrah Nasser. She tweeted, "Get Yemen trending. It's hell on earth right now. Innocent civilians are bombarded in cold blood while the internet is down. I don't know what else to say. At least 300 people were killed or wounded over the past 24 hours. I am running out of words." Shirin Al-Adami tweeted, "I'm still trying to process that 24 hours ago, Saudi Arabia, the United States, and the United Arab Emirates disabled an entire country's internet service while committing various massacres around Yemen, and this isn't top news everywhere." Welcome to the 21st century, Shirin, where oppressive regimes stifle the flow of information. Next tweet comes from Al-Aqil Jawad. He said, "Graphic footage of the Saudi UAE airstrikes on civilian homes on Yemen that caused dozens of civilian casualties, mostly women and children. Hashtag Yemen under attack." Even to Saudi standards, which are set pretty darn low, the Friday attacks were considered a low blow, to the extent which they made the UN, the United Nations, express condemnations and whatnot. Easy with those words, champ, you might just overexert yourself. Let's move on to our next comment by Patrick Durusau. The crimes of our empire exceeded human attention decades, if not centuries ago. That's not an excuse, it's an observation. Social media won't change that. Facts on U.S. ground might. Noticing that no matter what's the crime, the U.S. is never held accountable. Samir Singh tweeted, why even mention the U.S.? 90% of this is by the hands of the KSA. The House of Saud is responsible for more misery in the Middle East than anyone else, including the U.S., and they are only met with silence and backroom business deals. Talk about the bigotry of low expectations. We have a graph here with a tweet by World Peace. Saudi-led strikes, airstrikes knock out Yemen internet, killed 17, knocked out internet. Meanwhile, Saudi gets gets first major arms deal under Biden with air-to-air missiles. This graph, the title reads, how the U.S. fueled the Saudi war in Yemen. I mean, the graph is pretty self-explanatory. You can see that the big money goes into buying bombs while a whole nation is crumbling under poverty. Just FYI, the Saudis are one of the biggest importers of arms in the world, and guess who's at the receiving end of these weapons? Yep, the Yemenis. Let's move on to our final batch of comments. Our next tweet comes from Rune Agirhus. Yemen's people showed up in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, across the country to protest last night's genocidal crimes against humanity and the deliberate isolation of Yemen from the global internet. Forever defiant, nothing can break the resolve of these people. Marwa Osman tweeted, don't ask why we stand with Yemen. Ask yourselves, where do you stand from the massacres Yemen has been enduring for 7 years now? Cursed be upon those who planned, armed, executed, and gave excuses for every shot fired at the dear Yemeni people. Photo Hodeida, January 20th, 2022. Our final comment comes from Rhonda. She tweeted, the thread below is why I am sickened every time I hear the media speak lies and half-truths regarding the genocide being carried out against Yemen. Saudi, UAE, USA, UK, Israel are the aggressors, and the Yemeni have a right to defend themselves. That'll do it for this edition of Hashtag Trending. Thanks. Stay tuned for the rest of the world news.
No punishment yet for U.S. military personnel behind a deadly drone strike in Afghanistan, just days before the withdrawal from that country in August of last year. Now many Afghans, including the victims' relatives, want the Kabul strike to be regarded as a war crime. The U.S. drone strike left 10 Afghan civilians, including 7 children, dead. The U.S. military initially defended the attack, claiming the target was Daesh terrorists. But the Pentagon ultimately called it a tragic mistake, following the release of the airstrike's video by the Central Command. Until now, no one has been held accountable for the carnage. Afghans say that the U.S. military had acknowledged such strikes as mistakes in the past, but their perpetrators were never brought to justice. Tens of thousands of civilians were killed by U.S. forces during their two-decade of presence in Afghanistan. We reached out to former Australian Army legal officer David McBride for his take on the U.S. deadly strike. He believes the attack was illegal and amounted to a war crime.
The fact that the U.S. military originally said the target was a legitimate target makes it clear that they hit the target that they wanted to hit. And the fact that their target they wanted to hit was 10 children means that there are big questions to be answered. The only way they could have got out of it by a mistake was if the weapon had misfired and it hit the wrong building. But the fact that they hit the target they were aiming for and still killed children, I would say it's pretty much a war crime, and the Afghans should be outraged that there isn't even a trial. There has to be a question that the Americans are covering up their crimes. And when they say, oh, there was no misconduct, they're not saying that in good faith. They're saying the lives of Afghans don't really matter, and we are not going to punish our people even if they do the wrong thing. I suspect that they needed to, for political reasons and the embarrassment the withdrawal had caused for the American administration meant that the leadership of the American military were desperate to kill somebody and to make it look like they were fighting terrorists, and they got found out. I don't think that there was any real... there can't be, under the rules of engagement, that could not have been a legal strike, that they routinely do the wrong thing. He went as far as saying 90%, I think, of the people that were killed were either the wrong target or deliberately targeted civilians. Even if it's 40% or 30%, that means the leadership are reckless to the lives of the people in the Middle East. And if you're doing that, you're creating terrorists. You're not killing terrorists. In these cases, most of the time, they just do not have any kind of intelligence, and the people are targeted by what's called signature strikes, where the man might be wearing a traditional Afghan or Middle Eastern style dress, perhaps carrying a weapon, perhaps carrying something that looks like a weapon, and they'll be killed on that grounds alone, and they're in a particular territory. Now, that's illegal. That's a war crime. It's not illegal to have weapons in those countries. It doesn't make you a terrorist. And the idea that the Americans think they can kill them. The Americans have become a law unto themselves, and it's because there is no accountability.
Washington boosting military ties with Kiev as tensions with Moscow drag on. The first batch of the U.S. military aid arrives in Ukraine. The U.S. Embassy in Kiev says the shipment includes nearly 200,000 pounds of lethal aid, including ammunition. It is part of a $200 million package that the U.S. approved in December. This is while Washington and Moscow agreed on Friday to keep working to ease tensions over Ukraine. Kiev and its Western allies accused Moscow of preparing to attack Ukraine. The Kremlin denies the allegations. Germany says it will send a field hospital to Ukraine, but has rejected Kiev's calls for weapons delivery. Berlin is under pressure from the U.S. and other Western allies to stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will carry Russian gas to Germany and the rest of Europe. This amid a spike in energy prices in Europe due to a gas supply crunch. Hundreds gathered outside of the Israeli embassy in London on Friday to protest the Zionist regime's latest land grabs. Palestinians may lose their homes, but solidarity for their plights is growing. Bianca Rahimi tells us more from London.
Protesters outside the Israeli embassy have called for a boycott of Israel and those who support it, the delegitimization of the Zionist regime by Britain, which gave birth to it, and an end to apartheid.
We see you! We know your complicity! And we won't let you enable the ruthless and barbaric actions of the Israeli state in our name!
Israel is finding it more and more difficult to prevent the global community from knowing what's going on in the occupied territories. No amount of algorithms can stifle the cry for justice, and more people are standing in solidarity with the Palestinians.
For decades, Israel has been chipping away at Palestinian neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Now it's set its sights on Sheikh Jarrah. In May 2021, this neighborhood became an international focal point, with residents resisting expulsion using digital activism. The diaspora was galvanized, 180,000 people took to London's streets, and the land grab was postponed as a result. Londoners say the videoing of atrocities is working, but the Israeli lobby is strong.
Mona Al-Kurd, who is from Sheikh Jarrah, as she was transmitting the demolition of the garden center of the Salha family, her Instagram was blocked. So as far as we can, Palestinians and supporters try and portray to the world what is happening there. What we need to do is to find ways of turning that into a change in government policy.
The message is getting out. I am of an age where I went first to Israel in the 60s, shortly after the Seven-Day War. People in this country did not know about Palestine. There was no understanding of the Nakba. There was no understanding of the expulsion of Palestinians. And for years and years, the Israeli government was allowed to continue, and this ignorance was perpetuated by the media.
Racism is a hot topic in the Western world, with people rising up against all forms of discrimination and inequality. And for many, Israel is synonymous with racism.
I think there are still organizations like the BBC, which do not report what is going on in the ground. Therefore, tools like social media are really, really important.
They're not going to get away with it. And as Martin Luther King said, the arc of history may be long, but it bends towards justice. We will win this fight, because justice will win.
Demolitions have begun, some in the dead of night. Stun grenades were used, the power cut, and dozens arrested. The ethnic cleansing continues, as does the fight to end the last apartheid on Earth. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Hundreds of pro-independence activists in Scotland have marched to the streets of Glasgow, urging the Prime Minister to resign. Protesters attending the rally, dubbed All Under One Banner, want Prime Minister Boris Johnson to step down over the Downing Street party scandal. Ahead of the event, the activists released a statement saying that the Tory government continues to line the pockets of the rich and powerful friends, while the rest of the people are facing rising living costs. They added that it is time for Johnson to go and to step up the fight for independence. A recent survey published by Savanta Comres has found voters are split on the idea. 46% say yes, another 46% say no, while 8% remain undecided. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Whistleblower Everett Stern, who talked to the 6th of January panel, said FBI agents and the House panel investigating the 6th of January attack on the Capitol have both learned of a plan by allies of retired Army General Michael Flynn to gather intelligence on top U.S. Republicans to move them to back election audits in key states that Donald Trump lost. We now present you an article written by Peter Stone. The piece is titled, Michael Flynn Allies Plotted to Lean on U.S. Republicans to Back Vote Audits. Whistleblower Everett Stern, who talked to the 6th of January panel, said FBI agents and the House panel investigating the 6th of January attack on the Capitol have both learned of a plan by allies of retired Army General Michael Flynn to gather intelligence on top Republicans to move them to back election audits in key states that Donald Trump lost. Everett Stern, who runs the intelligence firm Tactical Rabbit, and is a Republican vying for a Senate seat in Pennsylvania, in multiple interviews with The Guardian said, two Flynn associates with the right-wing Patriot Caucus group enlisted his help in April in a scheme to seek potentially damaging information on two Republican members of Congress to prod them to back an audit of the 2020 presidential election that Joe Biden won. Everett Stern told The Guardian he spent several hours in November telling House panel investigators about a drive by Michael Flynn associates who sought campaign finance and other dirt on Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey and Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick to win their support for an audit to bolster Donald Trump's debunked charges that Joe Biden's win was fraudulent. A long-shot candidate to succeed the retiring Pat Toomey, Everett Stern said he alerted the FBI in June when he heard more details of the bizarre drive by Michael Flynn allies to specifically target the two Republicans, both of whom backed impeaching Trump after the 6th of January insurrection. The efforts by Michael Flynn's Patriot Caucus allies were launched after Donald Trump failed to block Joe Biden from taking office and are part of a wider drive by Trump loyalists and Michael Flynn to help boost Trump's political fortunes via more state audits nationwide into charges that Biden's win was rigged and elect like-minded candidates in key states to top electoral officers. Everett Stern provided text messages, emails, and other documents revealing he had multiple contacts with one of the Patriot Caucus members, Velma Ann Ruth, and two other influential Flynn allies, Houston real estate mogul Al Hartman and former Army Green Beret Ivan Raiklin, who were pushing audits in several key states. Everett Stern said Michael Flynn's Patriot Caucus associates first approached him in Pennsylvania for possible help after an April Republican Party event, and soon after told Stern in phone calls they worked with Michael Flynn and the Patriot Caucus and planned to recruit former domestic and foreign intelligence officials to facilitate their scheme. By Michael Flynn allies alarmed Everett Stern, but as a former whistleblower involved in exposing a large bank money laundering scandal by HSBC in 2012, he told The Guardian he decided to play along for a few months to glean information to expose the Trump allies' scheme. Everett Stern expressed dismay that Flynn's Patriot Caucus associates don't understand that Biden is the president. They wanted to collect information through Tactical Rabbit and my campaign to turn up the heat on Pat Toomey and Fitzpatrick to back an audit which Stern viewed as potentially extortion. Everett Stern gave The Guardian a voicemail he received in which Al Hartman talked about leaning on moderate Republican rhinos in Pennsylvania to gain support for an audit of that state's vote, with Joe Biden won by over 80,000 votes, and Al Hartman said a similar drive in Michigan was needed. Everett Stern said Al Hartman wanted to use Tactical Rabbit's intelligence gathering tools and his campaign to dig up potentially embarrassing campaign finance information and other dirt about the Pennsylvania members, plus Republican political figures in Michigan who were also resisting audits. Everett Stern said Al Hartman and Raiklin also talked with Stern about meeting Flynn, Trump's disgraced former national security advisor, and proposed compensating him for his information via campaign donations. In an April exchange of Al Hartman text messages seen by The Guardian, Al Hartman asked a Michael Flynn scheduler to help connect Flynn with Everett Stern, whose Senate campaign and credentials he touted highly, calling Stern a strong believer in their cause. Although Everett Stern tipped off the FBI in June about what he deemed a threat to national security, and he said he met with agents again in November, it's not clear if his charges are still being pursued. Everett Stern's charges have echoes of Michael Flynn's scheming with Donald Trump and other loyalists in late 2020 to thwart Joe Biden's win, efforts that included a White House meeting with Trump where Michael Flynn proposed declaring martial law in several states that Joe Biden won and then rerunning the election in those states. According to an Arizona Senate document shared by the watchdog group American Oversight to coordinate national efforts, Raiklian and Hartman on 3rd of July spearheaded one of a series of election integrity calls with Trump loyalists, lawyers, and donors to discuss the status of audit efforts in several states and other plans to cast doubt on Joe Biden's win. The Arizona document reads, "Join us every second Saturday for situation updates and collaboration from active leaders in the election remediation process at state level. Attorneys with Mike Lindell and Patrick Byrne, data analysts, state legislators, gubernatorial candidates, and grassroots activists whose goal is completing a cyber forensic audit in their state." A who's who list of Trump loyalists and groups invited to join these calls included the America Project and America's Future, both of which Michael Flynn played key roles with as they poured some $2 million into a discredited audit of Arizona's largest county, plus the Patriot Caucus, Velma and Ruth, Fincham and Byrne, the millionaire chief financier of the Arizona audit. Al Hartman, in emails with Everett Stern obtained by The Guardian, invited him in June to attend a religious far-right meeting known as Ziklag in Dallas, Texas, where he could meet separately with Michael Flynn. Everett Stern said Al Hartman told him a private meeting was going to be arranged with Michael Flynn, who Stern was told wanted to meet him. After indicating to Al Hartman he would attend, Everett Stern opted to cancel at the last minute, after his lawyer indicated there could be legal repercussions from such a meeting. Al Hartman has long been a donor to the right. He is on the advisory council for the pro-Trump Turning Point USA and has been active in the conservative donor network led by oil billionaire Charles Koch. According to a military official who spoke to the Reuters news agency recently, Raiklian, an Army Reserve officer who reportedly has known Michael Flynn since 2014, is facing an internal Army Reserve investigation into possible violations of rules barring partisan political activity. Reuters has reported Raiklian in December of 2020 outlined a wild scheme in tweets and a podcast to thwart Joe Biden's win, charging a vast conspiracy theory that included Pence, intelligence, China, and big tech. Raiklian told Donald Trump to activate the emergency broadcast system and deployed the hashtag #FightLikeAFlynn, stressing that we the people are going to force this plan on them. Neither Al Hartman or Raiklian replied to multiple calls seeking comment. A Flynn scheduler did not respond to questions for the story. Velma Ann Ruth, with the Patriot Caucus, who was photographed with Everett Stern at a June event in Pennsylvania, said General Michael Flynn called Stern's charges delusional, fabricated, and defamatory. In a text message, Everett Stern said he shared the photo and other documents involving exchanges he had with Velma Ann Ruth with the FBI. Senior former prosecutors and intelligence officials say Everett Stern's charges merit law enforcement attention. Former prosecutor Paul Rosenzweig, who worked on Ken Starr's team during the impeachment of Bill Clinton, said Everett Stern's charges suggest serious crimes. If his allegations were corroborated by extrinsic evidence, they clearly would warrant an investigation.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagin.
We congratulate all the brothers and sisters, believers, lovers in the Ahlul Bayt that on the occasion of the birth of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and hopefully we are able through asking Allah, through asking those that He has set for us to ask for intercession, including Fatima al-Zahra, we ask Him to help us get closer to this manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this muqarrab of the closest entities or the closest of God's creation to Him. And as we do so, obviously that would mean we are getting closer and reaching the proximity of the Divine. We can only be closer to her if we become of the muqarrabin. If she is of the muqarrabin, those who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only way to get closer to her is to become of the muqarrabin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these verses and has given us the Ahlul Bayt. All of this is to lead to that together. Isn't that what the Prophet said? إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ الثِّقْلَانِ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ وَعِتْرَةِ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ. I leave behind the book and my itra. مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّ أَبَدًا. If you take both of these, you grab a hold of both of them, what happens? لَن تَضِلُّ. You'll never be lost. In other words, you'll be on the right path. Where does the right path lead to? صراط العزيز الحميد. It's the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the... Allah has created Fatima al-Zahra and has created the Quran. He's given us both of these. The combination referring to both of them, reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We gave you al-kawthar. Kawthar is a term that we understand to be referring to Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, but the literal meaning of it is, they say the term they generally use is al-khayr al-kathir, or great, good. And kathir is not limited. God calls it kathir. God says this is much without limit. He doesn't put any limit on it. In other words, Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha is al-khayr al-kathir without limit, without putting a limit to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is able to count small and great, He just calls this gift to the Prophet al-Kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. In other words, our minds cannot fathom the greatness of this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Prophet. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Therefore, since your Lord has given you this daughter that is al-Kawthar, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرَ. Pray to your Lord and move your hands up. This anhar is the practice of bringing our hands up, according to at least the tafasir. That's what it's referring to. Allama Tabatabai says this. It's bringing your hands up in takbir. Allahu Akbar. When you're doing salah, وَانْحَرَ. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرَ. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَارُ. Those who say wrong things about you, and they say, oh, you don't have a son, you're talking about a whole religion, changing the world, you can't even change Arabia, you're going to die, you don't have a son, your lineage is cut off, your name will not continue, you will be lost in history. God says at that time, and we can see, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Who were the ones who were shani'? Who were the ones that were saying that to the Prophet? Abu Sufyan. Where is any progeny? Abu Sufyan. There is none. They discontinued. Their graves are lost, except for using it for relieving oneself. Some people have found them. I don't even know if those are their graves. Where are they? Where is Abu Sufyan? Where is... They are lost. In Abtar. They are Abtar, and that's what exactly happened. One of the aspects of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, being al-Kawthar. The Holy Prophet was rahmatan lil-alameen. One of the things that the Prophet was given in order to fulfill his goal of guiding mankind is Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Khair al-Kathir. Great khair. How? Look at this. Remembrance of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, strengthens the believer. Gives them strength to move forward, to make progress. The remembrance of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, gives comfort. Crying for Fatima al-Zahra out of joy, out of love for her. There are people that love her so much. When they hear her name, when they speak of her, their heart trembles. They have tears of joy and happiness. The same way it says that people who believe in Allah, that were not Muslim, they were Christians, meaning they were Muslim in a sense. They were Christians. What they knew was Christianity. They were such great believers in Allah through whatever they had of the teachings of Christ, that when they heard the ayat of Allah in the form of the Quran says their eyes would start raining. The tears would start flowing. Those are those ayat of Allah. Fatima al-Zahra is ayatullah al-Uzma. She is the greatest, one of the greatest ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person hears her name, speaks of her, thinks of her, reads of her, the eyes don't want to start to pour. And what happens when that believer remembering her, their tears come down their cheeks, their hearts tremble? What happens? That happens to them looking at an ayah of Allah. They get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasn't that the objective of the Prophet? The Prophet wanted to guide all these people through Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. These believers are able to ascend, be guided. Al-khayr al-kathir al-kawthar, inna a'taynaka al-kawthar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave you the kawthar. So be thankful and pray. Fasalli lirabbika wanha. Don't worry, these people who are against you and they're saying these wrong things, they will discontinue. Their progeny, their lineage, that will discontinue. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq of knowing more of this great creation of His, Fatima al-Zahra, this kawthar of the Prophet.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has once again reaffirmed that Tehran has no intention of wasting time or derailing the sanctions removal talks in the Austrian capital, Vienna. We have prepared for you an article written by Faiz Akbar Shahi, an international relations expert. The piece is titled, Iran's Logic and Broken U.S. Master Key in Vienna Talks. Over 130 days were enough for the United States to realize that Iran is serious in the Vienna negotiations and wants to remove nuclear and sanction disputes with the West. On 29th of July 2021, a week before the administration of President Saeed Ebrahim Raisi took office in Tehran, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the negotiating process cannot go on indefinitely. On 30th of November 2021, after the conclusion of the first round of talks, he stated, "We still believe diplomacy is the best path forward for putting the nuclear program back in the box it had been under the 2015 nuclear agreement, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. On January 10th, Mohammad Marandi, an advisor to the Iranian negotiating team in Vienna, said the Western side is seeking to prolong the negotiations. Over the course of 131 days, only two rounds of negotiations took place, but the remarks by Antony Blinken and Mohammad Marandi show that there are events underway in Vienna which are not covered by the media. American political history shows that Democrats have a thirst for keeping busy. In their view, there is no master key, and each case and subject had its own requirements. Republicans, on the other hand, do not like the fuzzy logic system and look at things in terms of ones and zeros. Remember comments by former U.S. President George W. Bush, who called the world either with us or against us, and Donald Trump, who has always embodied good and evil in diplomatic equations. However, in the face of Iran, U.S. President Joe Biden does not want negotiations only to resolve nuclear and sanction disputes with Iran. He's trying to seize the opportunity provided by the talks to get concessions from China and Russia. But now, Joe Biden's master key is broken, and he has no alternative plans other than doubling sanctions. On the other hand, the European trio is dragging its feet, wasting time and avoiding commitments to the JCPOA while attempting to redraw the equations in such a way that, first of all, the U.S. interests are not harmed by the multilateral nuclear accord. As Iranian scholar Abu Muhammad Asghar Khani has said, the Republicans were seeking to swiftly contain Iran and withdrew from the JCPOA so that the Europeans could keep the Islamic Republic within the JCPOA prison. In this regard, the U.S. appreciation for the measures taken by the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and the European trio concerning Iran's nuclear case is meaningful. The Europeans are also trying to advance the negotiations mechanism in such a way as to get concessions from both China and Russia. the rifts between Germany, Britain and France on the one side and the European Union on the other side shows that the European Troika views negotiations with Iran even as a profit-making platform that makes the post-Brexit system meaningful. The differences between the narratives of Enrique Mora and Josep Borrell, who represent the European Union's strategy, and those of the three European countries the European Troika envoys proves this proposition. On this basis, it can be expected that the expressed differences will emerge if Iran continues to adhere to its position, especially with respect to the verification of sanctions removal and guarantees that the US would not abandon the agreement once again. The politicization of the IAEA's work, the emphasis on the nuclear breakout, the negotiations with the Zionist regime in the middle of the Vienna talks, and of course the discussions with South Korea and Saudi Arabia, all demonstrate that the opposite side has not benefited from a driving a wedge between Iran, China and Russia. Blaming Tehran, imposing a deadline and even prolonging the negotiation process. It thus wants to face Iran with more diverse incentives and threats so that the country feels it needs a minimum deal, something that was previously called a temporary agreement. Rendering the aforesaid techniques ineffective stems from an innovative Iranian approach in the last two rounds of negotiations. Firstly, Iran tried to advance the nuclear issue technically and properly recognize the demands of the other side through the smart separation of the overt and covert layers of the negotiations. Secondly, Iran keeps insisting that in the first place it separates its economy from its foreign policy as much as possible. And secondly, it does not restrict its entire foreign policy to the case of negotiations with the 4+1 group. The time is ripe for increasing the source of power, and this is the point in the course of the negotiations where both bilateral and multilateral diplomacy is active. Iranian missiles are tested, and Iran's oil revenues are approaching pre-JCPOA levels. Recently, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has once again reaffirmed that Tehran has no intention of wasting time or derailing the sanctions removal talks in the Austrian capital Vienna, criticizing the West, particularly the United States of America, for failing to present any innovative proposals of its own in the negotiations in Vienna. Amir Abdollahian made the remark in an interview with China Global Television Network, CGTN, before wrapping up his official visit to Beijing, at the invitation of his Chinese counterpart, Foreign Minister Wang Yi. He said, "We assured Chinese officials that Iran is not playing with time or trying to derail the negotiations, and that we have made constructive, positive, and realistic proposals at the negotiating table in Vienna." Amir Abdollahian hailed China's constructive and rational role in the Vienna negotiations, saying, "Beijing is always opposed to the cruel unilateral sanctions imposed by the United States on countries including Iran and condemns the bullying practices of the United States." The Iranian foreign minister added that in talks with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi, he appreciated Beijing's support for Tehran's stance during the Vienna talks and expressed hope that China would continue to support Iran's position. Amir Abdollahian emphasized that China and Russia support Iran's constructive initiatives, but Western countries, including the United States, have so far offered no innovative proposals of their own in the Vienna talks. Amir Abdollahian said, "If the parties can resume their commitments under the Iran nuclear deal, Iran will also return to commitments based on the agreement. If Iran can get the expected economic benefits from the agreement, so will all the parties to the agreement." Iran also argues that lack of initiative among the Western parties to the Vienna deal is the main factor slowing down the talks in Vienna. Addressing a regular press conference on Monday, the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson, Zhao Lijian, voiced his country's strong opposition to illegal and unilateral sanctions against Iran and gross interference in the internal affairs of the Islamic Republic and other countries of the region. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Martyr Soleimani will live on forever and his enemies will disappear in history's dustbin. January 5th, 2022.
امروز هم مستکبران از نام او وحشت دارن از یاد او وحشت دارن میبینید تو فضای مجازی اطلاع دارید حد بیشتر از من نبود که چه برخوردی دارن با اسم او میکنن
Today too the arrogant powers are intimidated by the name and memory of Shahid Qasem Soleimani Notice how they are treating his name on the internet You probably have more information than me in this regard This is another alert and even more of a signal for us and for the officials in charge of matters related to the internet in the country for them to understand what they should do in order to prevent the enemy from doing whatever he wants on the internet wherever he wants. Well, the internet which exists in the world today is in the hands of the arrogant powers. They are even afraid of his name and they are terrified of there being more people like him. This is what a role model is. They are afraid more people will be like him. Thank you.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
شهید سلیمانی موندنی است، تا ابد زنده است. اونایی که او رو شهید کردن، ترامپ و امثال او، جاشون زباله‌دان تاریخه.
In any case, Shahid Soleimani is eternal and will live on forever. Those who martyred him, Trump and the likes, belong to the dustbin of history. They will be among the forgotten ones in the trash can of history. But he will live on forever. A martyr is like this. His enemies will disappear, but of course, after having received retribution in this world for their crime, inshallah. I hope all of you, his honorable family, his friends and colleagues, and Mr. Qa'ani, who is working and moving forward very well, praise God, will follow and move forward on this path, inshallah. God the Exalted has promised victory to us. Allah indeed defends those who have faith. The Holy Quran, Surah 22, verse 38. He has promised to defend those who believe. Well, we are moving on the path of the divine will and divine goals, and the nation is working for Islam. This is the promise of defense. There is another promise about assistance. Allah will surely help those who help His cause. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. The Holy Quran, Surah 22, verse 40. And in another verse, it stated, If you help Allah, He will help you and make your feet steady. The Holy Quran, Surah 47, verse 7. I hope that all of you will be successful, inshallah. The activities that this woman spoke about, Zainab Soleimani, the daughter of Martyr Soleimani, are good activities. I hope all these activities will continue in the best way, inshallah. May God's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You've guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.